Fred Film Radio, New York Film Festival, United States.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at the 56th New York Film Festival. In the section documentary, this year was selected Fire Music. And today we are here with the director, Tom Surgal, to talk about the movie. Good morning, Tom, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
It is pretty clear how necessary is your movie. But what was the first event that made you wanted to make this film?
You know, I don't know if there was a specific event or not, but I've made a lot of reference to that. Ken Burns made a documentary a number of years back, a 20-hour, rather exhaustive study entitled Jazz. And he pretty much went into the entire history of the idiom and only devoted about 2 minutes to avant-garde jazz. So that was a major wrong that I needed to write, I guess. So maybe that was my initial motivation. So.
Okay, and what free music means to you?
Well, that's kind of an umbrella term. Free jazz is a term that's been bandied about, and we all know what we're talking about when we use it, but it may be a little reductionist, but I prefer avant-garde. It's just a radical form that evolved from the late 50s on, and a beautiful oeuvre that was a very much break from everything that preceded it, and it was highly innovative and highly charged with idea and inspiration.
You started your movie with this sentence: "The tradition of all dead generation waits like a nightmare on the brains of the living." Karl Marx. It is the perfect fit for what you are talking. Can you expand a little bit about it?
Well, you know, Karl Marx was an advocate of change, and the avant-garde was very much about that. It was very much about breaking from all the traditions that preceded it. But as Gary Giddens, the noted critic who was a featured talking head throughout the movie, proclaimed, it's the avant-gardists were not saying what we're doing is better than the traditional form that had preceded it. Was just different. And I think that's something to keep in mind in the course of watching the movie.
The way you use the images, playing with them, it is fitting perfect with the music you are talking about. How did you work on these images?
You know, a lot of that had to do with my editor, John Northrup, who is a bona fide genius. I gave him, as I did my composer, Lynn Culbertson, very general instructions. I just said that we wanted imagery that was as radical as the music that we were presenting. And I think he succeeded in that greatly. So he used a lot of silent film, a lot of avant-garde film from the silent film era. And also Lynn Culbertson's score was also, we needed contrast. We wanted something that wasn't exactly the music that we were presenting, but at the same time, something that wasn't in stark contrast to it. So it sort of referenced the music, but at the same time was something else entirely different. So the three of us sort of jammed together, sort of like the music itself that we're making the movie about. So it was very much a creative triumvirate, and that's how we came upon the formula, which we ultimately presented.
There is another aspect that I really appreciated, especially for people that are very interested in music, but they don't really know a lot about it. You use often plots and graphical representation. How did you work on this idea? Can you talk about it?
A lot of that was John's doing, but Gary, who's the possibly the most renowned jazz critic alive, also elucidated a lot of what we were talking about. So we sort of just, you know, graphically demonstrated what it was that he was saying, and he made our job much easier as a consequence. So it's a big subject. So even for the jazz intelligentsia, not everyone might entirely fathom its origins and the history of the music itself.
How long did take the shoot for of this film?
Yeah, we've been toiling on this film for about 11 years, you know.
So you collect all the interview during these 11
yeah,
years?
Yeah, and unfortunately we've probably lost, well, I guess the math is we've lost 11 artists in the course of the making of the movie, so it was the time to do it, and that they were only on the planet for a finite period of time. We were able to document them while they were still here.
How long was the editing? You have a lot of footage. Where did you get those footage? I also saw that you have some footage from Rai Tre, that is an Italian channel. Mm-hmm. So I think you were very far to find all this material.
Yeah, you know, as John said in the Q&A, it basically from the internet. So pretty simple answer.
Okay, well, but you have to choose what you add, because I feel that I think there is a lot of material.
Actually, there's kind of a dearth of material. Unfortunately, a lot of this stuff wasn't filmed, and it's more on European TV than in America. You know, America has never appreciated what is its only indigenous art form, which is jazz, and it's always been more highly regarded overseas. And even to this day, musicians need to go to Europe with some consistency just to stay financially solvent, because they're not appreciating their own homeland.
Yes, I would like to talk a little bit about this topic, because it's almost at the end of the movie, and I didn't really understand before the magnitude of this problem, about the condition of Afro-American artists unpaid and or not paid at all. This problem is still present nowadays?
Well, I think, yeah, it's hard. Now it's harder than ever for musicians, because you can't generate any money at all making records, because, you know, everyone just steals it on the internet. So it's all about performance now. But I think, though, the people I made the movie about really had it bad, because they were derided by the old guard musicians. They were denigrated by the critics, rejected by the public to some degree, and prohibited from playing in the nightclubs, the actual venues that presented jazz. So they really had to overcome a lot of odds in order to present their music, and it took a lot of conviction and steadfastness to sustain this art form. But they managed to soldier on and created a beautiful body of work in the process that has persevered and withstood the test of time.
The stories you are telling, they are very inspiring, but sad at the same time. How did you balance those two aspects of in your movie?
I mean, some of the great artists, unfortunately, died young, and as we were just discussing, a lot of them had to overcome a lot of obstacles in order to play the music, but The other point we make in the film is that they were also eclipsed by a young Turks who were part of a revisionist movement to eradicate the significant cultural import of the avant-gardists, and sought instead to play a more commercially palatable form that was more reminiscent of the bebop era that preceded the avant-gardists. And that would have been okay, but they really tried to write the avant-gardists out of history altogether. So apart from all the other things that we've discussed that they had to overcome, it was like they were being written out of history altogether. And but still, again, they were, I guess the positive point is that they persevered. They, you know, back in the day, they'd self-release albums. They would find alternative places in which to perform, like churches and community centers and schools. Ultimately, they presented music in their own abodes. That was later labeled the loft era, because they would just put on music in their own lofts. As a consequence, they generated an audience that has of generations of fans the world over, and I think highly regarded in many circles. But you know, my attempt is to maybe bring this music to a wider audience and try and you know, generate even more interest in the major artistic strides that these artists have achieved.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is what, you know, come out from the movie. Like, they were like a pioneer, and probably they influenced not only music, not only jazz music, but probably also movie making and a lot of different arts.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is also you have to understand the times in which this movie was being created. It was a time of change. It was a time of social upheaval, not just in the United States, but Europe as well. And it was a turbulent time. It was an era where the civil rights movement in America was taking form. It would metamorphose into the Black Militant Movement, the anti-war movement, grew up around the protest of Vietnam. All that stuff informed the music, and that the music itself was so inherently radical, it was kind of the perfect moment in time for it to have occurred. So,
do you have any release date for the movie?
No, you know, we just, as a direct consequence of being in the New York Film Festival, some completion money came into being.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. I mean, I would like to remind to everybody that New York Film Festival doesn't have any prize. It's being at the festival that the prize. And so there was somebody in the selection committee that find like the immense value of your movie. And well, congratulations for that.
Right, right. I was going to say, we only finished it last Wednesday, so. We're getting a little premature.
We showed it on Monday.
Right, we showed it on Monday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It took us five months to edit the initial 50 minutes, and then 3 weeks to do the final 20 minutes. So, you know, it's definitely been a kind of whirlwind. And but you know, it's like the music itself. It's urgent and. Maybe that was
if the New York Film Festival call, you answer.
That's entirely true, right.
Because this movie is also a very you know, New York movie. I think one of the reasons was that you actually show something that is like the soul of New York and the soul of music in New York.
Right, one that maybe hasn't been cinematically explored before to the extent that I have, you know.
Yes, and also in a format that is right for a normal audience. Was also the kind of like target that is very wide for right. All the people that loves music.
Right. I mean, yes, we wanted to make it so, yes, the jazz intelligentsia would receive it positively and find it accurate and informative. But at the same time, we want people who know nothing about this music to, you know, attain a knowledge of it and hopefully to have interest in it. And even people who aren't into music necessarily, just, you know, people who like documentaries, it's about a marginal form that really needs to get its due.
Thank you very much. Thank to Tom Surgal for being with us today. From the New York Film Festival 2018, I'm Samantha Sartori, and this is FreFilm Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.